to in Matthew chapter 6. It's going to cover the blanket verses we're going to cover is verses 1 through 18, but we're not even going to read them this morning. We'll go more into them kind of like normal next week if things work out. But it's all about seeking approval is what verses 1 through 18 are. And if you remember where we've been in the whole book of Matthew, it's the contrast of earthly man's ways versus Jesus' and his kingdom and his way. So that's what verses 1 through 18 are going to cover is what are we seeking for approval? Whose approval basically are we seeking? Are we seeking men's approval? Are we seeking God's approval in different situations? So it's going to show us, you know, what is God's standard of seeking approval and versus what men's is, because we ask ourselves is what do we do things for? You know, why do we do a good job if we're asked to do something? Why do we try to raise our children correctly? Why do we go to work and try to do a good job at our job? It's because we're seeking the approval. That's why we do the things that we do, is we're seeking somebody's approval. And a lot of times you're going to think, well, where are you going with this? Are we saying that we're not supposed to seek men's approval? That's what we're saying. But there's still things that we're supposed to seek God's approval in what we do. That's what gives us the motives to do the things that we do. That's what gives us the intentions to do a good job. Is I don't want to do a good job just for myself and my pride and my arrogance, or so somebody sees me do it that way, or somebody thinks that it's a good way to do it. We want to look at this stuff that we do for God's approval. And this is where it takes it kind of down a rabbit hole, is if you read in verse, we'll just read in verse 1, is beware of practicing your righteousness before men to be noticed by them. Otherwise, you have no reward with your Father who is in heaven. So the reward is going to be our rabbit hole this morning. If I look at something and I read that, and rewards are mentioned many times throughout the Bible. And we know when we look at this, verses 1 through 18, that there's God's approval that we should be seeking. That's the whole Beatitudes that we covered. That's what we covered last week on all of the, this is what they say, but this is what God says. Obviously, we seek that approval. Otherwise, he wouldn't tell us to do it his way. So there's a purpose and a reason that he wants us to do things a certain way. And what is that for? Why do I want to strive to do things God's way? If I look at those Beatitudes and I look at that contradiction or contrast like we looked at last week with those do's and the don'ts, why? What's the point of it? Why is Jesus telling us this? That if that's how his kingdom operates, why is it beneficial for me to operate that way? Just because I know I'm not against sin and against him? Or is there a reason above that that I need to follow and do what God says is right? If Jesus gives me the rules, if you will, to his standard of his kingdom, what benefit does it have for me to try to follow those rules and be under that? So that's the word reward that we're gonna kind of take down that rabbit hole. So the contrast he gives in this whole verses 1 through 18 is that he's given us is either being rewarded by men now or being rewarded by him either now or eternity. And a lot of times our mind goes, when we think of rewards, we're going to look at crowns and different rewards. We think of those are eternal things that I can't experience now. I'm working for those now, but I'm going to receive them in eternity. And we're going to see that that is true, that there are those, but we're going to look that there's stuff that we can take advantage of right now that he's rewarding us with that we get every day, that we're able to experience here when we're on this earth. So if we do the things for the approval of men, we'll get it. We can all know that. We've done things in our life to have people recognize us and say, good job. We do that. God rewards us. If we seek after the things that men approve, we get it. We can all think of something that we've done in our life, that we've done it with the motive in our heart to do it because somebody will tell me, good job. And what does God do? God gives us that good job. Somebody says, good job. Somebody likes what you do. Somebody whatever. You know how I don't have Facebook or very slim use on Instagram posting. I like to look at stuff just because I like memes. But how many times, How many times do you post something or you can, like I'll steal Hallie's Facebook and I'll look at something she'll give me. And how many times are people posting something just to get somebody's approval or get a like button or hit a heart or do whatever on it? How many times are people seeking somebody's approval? And you get it. You get 100 people to like your picture, guess what? You just got that approval you were looking for. So we get that approval. Okay, God doesn't hold that back from us. He gives us the desires of our heart. If the desire of our heart is to be approved by man, we get it. Okay, so that's one way. And that's all in verses, in chapter 6, like I said, we'll cover this. But in verses 3, 5, and 16 of chapter 6, God says, "Truly I say to you, they have their reward in full." They're paid in full. So the reward for wanting to seek men's approval, God gives it to them. And he gives it to them and he pays them in full. You want approval by men? Boom, you got it. That's what we have. And that's something that a lot of times we find ourselves in them situations that we start blaming God for the situation that we're in. But we have to ask ourselves, when we're in that situation, how did we get into that situation? Am I in that situation now because of what I was seeking, whose approval I was seeking? Did God give me that situation because I sought after? That was the result, the consequence of seeking after something of this earth. And now I'm into this situation, and now I'm mad at God for being in this situation when that's just him answering what I was seeking. So we have to be careful when we're in certain situations. That's why it's always good when you look at something in your life, it's always good to try to see, what is God showing me in this? What is God trying to do with me? What am I, you know, what was the motives of the result of this that I am here? You know, if it's something totally out of your control, obviously God gives us things to test us and build us up and help further our relationship with him and our faith in him. But there are certain things that we set ourselves up for failure. There are certain things that we're sleeping in the beds that we made, that it's our own fault because we asked for it. So if we do things for the approval of God, we will be rewarded. So it goes back to this contrast. He just said that, "Truly I say to you, they have their reward in full." That was in verses 3, 5, and 16. But if we look at verses 4, 6, and 18, it says, "Your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you." So now we have the contrast of what's your motive. Check your heart. Okay? So you've heard of the word probably ambassador in the Bible before, or somebody talked that we are ambassadors for Jesus. If you look at an ambassador, if you look up the definition from the Webster's 1828 for an ambassador, is to manage the public concerns of his own prince or state. Okay, so hold on to that. It's to manage the public concerns of his own prince or state in representing the power and dignity of his sovereign. So we're representatives, right? We're an ambassador of Jesus Christ. If you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, he is now the head. You are representing him. Okay? Philippians chapter 3:20 says, "But our citizenship is in heaven." 2 Corinthians 5:20 says, "Therefore we are ambassadors for Christ." So we are representing a different kingdom. We are representing a different king. Okay, that's what we're supposed to do in ambassadors. So if we're supposed to represent the power and dignity of Jesus Christ and his kingdom, how are we doing the things that we're doing? What approvals are we seeking? What motives do we have in our heart that take us in the direction to make this decision or to make this decision or to go this way or go that way? What are we representing? Whose approval are we seeking? Okay, so therefore we represent Jesus. An ambassador is commissioned for service. So that's something we are to do. We as followers of Jesus, we have a service to do. You think of an ambassador in a foreign country, they're being the PR guy. That's what we're supposed to be. We're representing Jesus. We're Jesus' PR people. How are we representing him? How are we showing him to other people? How are we showing his kingdom to other people? If we do this, if an ambassador serves, what does it say? That our service will be rewarded. That's what God's telling us. We don't have to do it for nothing. God's saying, this is the cool thing about God. How many of us did something for our salvation? Not one of us. It was a choice. We took it. We received it. That was all we had to do. We didn't have to work for it. We didn't have to try to do this for it or buy it or whatever. He freely gave it to us. Now he goes on and say, hey, with this gift I freely give to you, I want you to go out and be an ambassador for me, but that ain't going to cost you anything either. I'm going to reward you for that too. How cool is that? He gives us the freedom of salvation, and then he turns around and says, I'm going to reward you if you tell people about it and if you live your life like it. If you go through the hardships in life, that's what it will cost you. It won't cost you anything but minimum on the big jumbotron of how long eternity is compared to what this life is. And it's going to cause you maybe a little uneasiness or whatever, self-discipline to do the right thing, but I'm going to reward you for it. So the choice is, who are we representing? Because that's the reward we're going to get. If I'm representing myself to further my kingdom here on this earth for people's approval, because the more people that like me, the more people that do this with me, the more people, whatever, I'm going to grow my kingdom here on earth. And I don't get it. There's people that make millions of dollars on, what are the people called that just advertise for people on Facebook? Influencers. Look at that. All that is. I mean, they're making a lifestyle off of just people liking them. They're getting their reward right now. They're living it. So flip that. And why are we not influencing people for Jesus? Where we can take a reward that is for all of eternity. This earth, our time on this earth is very, very short. It may seem like it's a long time, but in the eyes of eternity that knows no time and has no end, I would rather have a reward that's all of eternity, because however this shakes out on what we do with these, we're going to get to utilize those or reap those rewards for all of eternity rather than just a very small, minute time. And that's the challenge. That's the challenge of trying to live a good life. That's the challenge of trying to do things like what we've just covered in the whole front half of Matthew. On why do we do things against what the world says? Why do we do things for Jesus' kingdom? Because he knows that his kingdom is a heck of a lot better than what this earth is. And it's a lot longer. So he's saying, hey guys, I'm giving you all the answers. They're telling you to do this, but I'm going to say it don't work that way. Do it this way. And this is why. I'm going to reward you. Because I know what eternity looks like. I know what it is. I know how big a deal it is. So therefore, he's looking out for us. That's another commercial for the love of Jesus that he has for you. He goes that far to say, I'm not just going to let you sink in this world. There's a difference in heaven and a difference in eternity. I'm going to give you the answers so you can reap the full benefit of the experience of eternity and experience of heaven. Because it's much longer than the experience of earth now. So, we know the will of God is for us to have a pure heart. This all ties right in. This is what's awesome about going through a book verse by verse. Matthew chapter 5, verse 8, when we're talking the Beatitudes. His desire is for us to have a pure heart. What is a pure heart? A pure heart is your motives. Check my motives. Is my heart pure for God's motives? Am I here trying to do whatever I need to do to go talk to whoever I need to do to go to a guy's funeral? There's a good example. I could go to a guy's funeral. Am I going to the funeral of a guy just so his kid will see me there and then I can sell him more corn because he thought I cared about his dad? What's my motive? Or is my motive to go to that funeral for the guy to show compassion and encourage and be there and show support for the guy because he was a neat guy. And let the family know that he made a difference in somebody's life. What are the motives of the things that we do what we do for? That's a pure heart. Okay? 1 Corinthians chapter 4, 1 through 5. Let a man regard us in this manner as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. In this case, moreover, it is required of stewards that one be found trustworthy. But to me, it is a very small thing that I may be examined by you or by any human court. In fact, I do not even examine myself, for I am conscious of nothing against myself, yet I am not acquitted by the one who examines me, is the Lord. Therefore, do not go on passing judgment before the time, but wait until the Lord comes, who will both bring to the light the hidden things in the darkness and disclose the motives of men's heart. They're going to come out. Our motives, we can't hide from God. And then each man's praise, reward, will come to him from God. There it is. There's a difference. The motives of our hearts to do the things that we do will get rewarded. If it's for now, you get it now. If it's for eternity, you're going to get it for eternity. For I am conscious of nothing against myself, yet I am not acquitted, because God's standards are higher than humans. Paul's saying, I'm not guilty of anything. I know I am. But in God's eyes, that don't make me okay. That don't make me not judged by man, because God is the ultimate authority and the ultimate judge, and it's His standards. That's whole Matthew chapter 5. It's God's standards that Paul is holding himself accountable to. And he's saying, me, my mind, I think I'm good. But my mind, I know God's standards are higher than my mind, and I'm not good there. It doesn't matter how or what we think of ourselves. It's God's call. Okay? So we have an option. There's two ways we could do this. We can have seek after men's approval, or the approval of God. That's our options. There's only one or two ways. There's no in between. It's one or the other. Whatever we do in our heart, whatever we carry out, whatever thing we do, whoever's approval we seek is either man or God's. That's it. There's no in between. So we'll have our earthly rewards by men, or we will have our rewards by God, which on earth, this is what's cool, is that we don't just think of eternity for all of our rewards. We get to experience His blessings on earth. That is a reward. Being a follower of Jesus, doing things the way that He wants us to, having the right motives and our pure hearts and our actions and doing things right, God blesses us every day. There's things that we get rewarded for on this earth that we get to experience because God's rewarding us. We can all think of things we don't that we have, or relationships that we're in, or whatever it may be that we don't deserve. We can all think of things. And it's because God's blessing us. And you look at the blessing we have sitting in this church versus trying to hold church in some basement locked up in China right now so we don't go to jail. I mean, look at the simplicity of that one. We all have something that God has blessed us with. So what is the greatest reward we have here on earth? That Jesus already ran the race for us. That we're complete in Him, as it says in Colossians. He already did the work. And then He says, I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you. How about that for a blessing? How cool a blessing is that? To have the Creator of the universe, the one who's already conquered everything, says, hey, don't worry. You don't have to do this alone. Whatever valley you're walking through, it don't matter. Because I've already conquered it. I'm already here. I already did it. That's a blessing that we get, is He just said, I'm not going to leave you or forsake you. I'm not going to leave you down in that valley. And that allows us to then say what? That the Lord is my helper, and I will not be afraid. What will man do to me? And that's in Hebrews chapter 13, verses 5 and 6. We don't have to be afraid. That's a blessing. We can walk through this life not having to be afraid of what the world thinks of us, of what the world's approval that we're not getting, because God just said what? Hey, I ain't going to leave you. I ain't going to forsake you. What is man going to do to you? I'm in charge of man. And if the one that's in charge of man says, don't worry about man, Okay. Whatever. But we think, if I don't do this, or I don't achieve this in my life, if I don't have a new house, if I don't have a new vehicle, if I don't have whatever it is, I won't have the approval of my employees, my work coworkers, my friends, my family. Man, I can't believe you drive that rusted out piece of crap. I thought you were doing better in life than this. What's it to you? I'm not seeking your approval. I'm going to go in debt so far to buy all these nice things and do all this thing to have the American dream just so my neighbor thinks that I'm doing better than he is. Because that's what it is. We chase after the American dream so everybody else thinks we're doing just as good as they are or a little bit better. And God says it don't matter. That's not what it's about. Who cares what people think? We are seeking the approval of God. And the reward He has for us is immeasurable compared to the short victory that we get by the approval of men. A quote, and I don't know who wrote it, "What you do on earth will echo in the halls of eternity." There are a long hallway in eternity. It's going to be a lot of echoing because eternity's forever. What's going to echo through the halls of eternity that we created? Our goal is to stay focused. Matthew chapter 5, verses 6. Be hungry. Remember when it said hunger and thirst for righteousness? You have to stay focused, and we have to stay hungry for the Word of God. We have to stay hungry for doing things the way that He wants His kingdom to be ran. We be hungry for what pleases God is what we need to be hungry for. Whatever you can look out at and say, I know that that would please God, chase it. Go after it. Don't think about it, just go. Do, say, act, take care of whatever it would be that God has placed you in or put in front of you that would please Him, do it. Go get it. You're going to be rewarded for it. That's your act of service, as being an ambassador for Jesus. Go do it. We endure and run for what is to come. Don't be focused so much on the race that we don't see what the result of the race is, the victory of the race. We endure and run for what is to come. We need to see the joy beyond the race itself. We need to look to the victory and the celebration. That is what should give us hope. That is why you train. That is why you're sitting here training. That's why you seek the things of God. You go after and you hunger and thirst for the things that please Him, is because you want them to sustain you and build that muscle for you to get through the race and not quit that race. That's the point. Your work is rewarded. That's the coolest part. We're not doing it for nothing. We get to experience whatever this is, this glory that God gives us for all of eternity, for working so hard to chase after the things that please Him. We get all eternity to use them. That's what should give us hope. And that's what it should be then that has other people asking you why you have that hope. This world is a messed up place. It gets worse every day. But do we put our heads down and walk down the street looking at our feet the whole way, just being a bum Eeyore? Or do we have hope because we know that we're in the middle of the race right now and we know what the victory looks like? It's already been won. It's already been done. Jesus Christ already did it. We're made complete in Him. It's ours. We share it. It's ours. And we're going to look at that there's a blessing in that. So our attitude in this shitty world needs to be joy. It needs to be hope. Because that was what will draw other people to Jesus. If you're an ambassador in a different country and you're Eeyore sitting there all day and you're not trying to do things for your country to help and make your country look good and do all this other stuff to promote your country, Are you doing justice for your country? Nobody's going to want to be part of your country. Nobody's going to want to know anything about your country. So why would they want to know who Jesus is if you're Eeyore? And we're all mopey, and we're sad, and we're fearful, and we're whatever it is about what's to come and what we're living in. We're supposed to have joy, because that joy will shine so bright, and it's something like this. You're going to look like a weirdo. What was Jesus so happy for? Because I know the end of the story, man. I know what I'm fighting for. I know what I'm trying to promote, who I'm trying to promote, what His kingdom looks like. I know what I got waiting for me for eternity that I got to take advantage of forever and ever and ever and ever. This world don't mean nothing. This is just a blip on the radar. So it allows us to fight our battle harder. It allows us to stay focused. A reward is dangling out there. It's like a carrot tied to that donkey that's pulling the cart. He wants to keep going because he wants that carrot. That's what these rewards are. God's saying, I'm not making you do this, do it for nothing. I'm doing it because you're getting blessings out of it right now. Because by being joyful, you're going to be able to experience me. You're going to allow me to work. The Holy Spirit's in you. You're going to allow it to work better. And your life will be more of a blessing because it will be joyful and it will be hopeful. You'll have a better experience of life if you allow me to work in your life. And I'm going to reward you for allowing me to work in your life. So rewards. God will give us praise based on the motives of our heart. And that's 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 5. That He will reward us and praise us based upon what's in here. Matthew 25, 23 says, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." That's the ultimate reward that we should be striving after, is for when we're there and we're face planted on the floor because God's going to be so great that we ain't going to be able to stand up in front of Him, like that song says. You're going to be like every other person in the Old Testament who met an angel or Jesus and they were bam on the face flat on the ground. And the goal would be for Him to say, "Well done, my good and faithful ambassador. You've done well for the one that I sent to save the entire world. You represented Him well." God will give us crowns. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 24 through 27. "Do you not know those who run in a race all run, but only one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may win. Everyone who competes in the games exercises self-control in all things. They then do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. Therefore, I run in such a way as not without aim. I box in such a way as not to beating the air. But I discipline my body and make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified." It's exercising self-control. Do we chase the perishable wreath or the imperishable? 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may be recompensed for his deeds in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad." It's payday. It's what it is, essentially. You're going to be paid for what you did, good or bad. The good that we do, we will be rewarded for. The bad that we did, He's going to say, "I gave you your rewards. You wanted them, I gave them to you. They're already gone. You used them up on that little tiny, you can't even see it. That dot on the radar and the line of eternity is so, you can't even see them, but they're there. But the good things we did, we have all of eternity to be able to have them. There's a crown of righteousness, which is for faithfulness to the Lord in this life. So by being faithful to the Lord in your life that we do every day, the walk that we do, the run that we have, there's a crown of righteousness. And that's 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. I have fought the good fight. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. In the future, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award me on that day. Righteousness is what? Remember we covered clear back the essence of God, righteousness? It's a pure heart, and it's conformity of the heart and the life to live towards God's law. It's a pure heart. Righteousness. Do things with that clear motive. If you start doing things with that motive and a clear heart and for God's approval, you got a crown of righteousness. He just said it. Crown of joy for faithfulness and witnessing. Philippians chapter 4, verses 1, Paul addresses those beloved brethren whom he longs to see who are his joy and crown. We all know what Paul did and all the churches that he went out and started and helped and kept going and all the people he witnessed to. First Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 19. For who is our hope or joy or crown of exaltation? Is it not even you in the presence of our Lord Jesus that is coming? For you are our joy and glory. There's a crown of joy. For finding joy in the people that you're witnessing to. To being faithful and witnessing to people who Jesus is. You're going to get rewarded for that. You help save somebody's soul by telling them who Jesus is? Bam. Glory. There's a crown of glory for faithfulness in ministry. Everybody's ministry looks different. You don't have to be standing here to have a crown of ministry. You can have your ministry in your own home, raising your children, being a teacher at school, doing whatever you're doing. And when this is 1 Peter 5:4, and when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. The crown of life is your faithfulness in testing. That's James 1:12. Blessed is the man who perseveres under trial. Revelations 2:10. Be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life. The crown of incorruptibleness is discipline in your spiritual life. 1 Corinthians 9:24, we just read it, is that you run in a way that you may win the prize. Stay focused. Don't be corrupted. The prize for staying focused is a crown. I mean, how cool is that? That we know we have a tangible item. I don't know what we're going to do with that. My thought is I think we're going to be able to lay them down at Jesus' feet and tell him thank you. When we get to experience and see what heaven is, and we see that glory, and we see him with his scars tattered and beaten for us, I think we're going to lay them at his feet and say thank you. And the tears that will be wiped away will be when I'm sad that I didn't have the rewards to be able to lay at my Savior's feet. When I get to sit there and I watch everybody else lay their crowns at his feet, and I'm sitting there with no crowns because I was seeking men's approval of what I could get in this life versus eternity. God will give us rank and authority. There's in Matthew chapter 25, verses 14, I'm not going to read it all, verses 14 to 23, it's talking about the talents where he gives them, he's got the three or four guys and he gives them talents, or gold or money if you will, and what do they do with it? Some people invest it, some didn't, and then the guy just buried it in the ground. Do you remember that story? If not, it's right there, 14 through 23, read it later, but in verses 23, he says that I will put you in charge of many things. We will have rank or authority in the millennial kingdom. On the 1,000-year reign of Jesus Christ, after the 7 years of the tribulation, when Jesus Christ comes back and has his 1,000-year reign that we will be a part of, we will have different rank and authority in that 1,000 years. How many years can you live minus childhood and minus old age to where you could have rank and authority in this life? 20, 40, somewhere in there, depending on what you do. Even that contrast, 20 to 40 years versus a 1,000-year reign. 1,000 years is a lot more than 20 or 40. Revelation 2:26, He who overcomes and he who keeps my deeds until the end, to him I will give authority over the nations. God will give us glory. Revelation chapter 2, 28. Starting 26, He who overcomes and he who keeps my deeds until the end, to him I will give authority over the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron as the vessels of the potter are broken to pieces, as I also have received authority from my Father, and I will give him the morning star. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. What's the morning star? It's Jesus. So during this 1,000-year reign, if God gives you Jesus as a reward, you're co-ruling the universe. He gives you Jesus. So whatever it is in that 1,000-year reign, co-ruling the universe with Jesus Christ, you're probably going to have some different things that are available to you than somebody who's just in that kingdom, not ruling that kingdom. He's going to give us that glory. That is going to be glory. You want man's approval on this earth? You want to be in the cameras doing whatever? God gives you an opportunity. He gives you Jesus Christ. So for that 1,000-year reign, when Jesus Christ is ruling the earth and we have him, we're right there with him. I'd rather have that camera shot than my 15 minutes of fame here on earth. Whose approval are we seeking? We have to check the motives of our heart. You will be rewarded for it. Daniel 12:13, those who have insight will shine brightly. We have an opportunity to shine. Might not be here, but in eternity, we will shine. So, we'll get into breaking down the verses like normal next week, but this was just a rabbit trail that, what are we fighting for? What are we running so hard for? Why do we try to do the things that please God? Because this is why. Because I want to be able to have a crown to be able to lay at my Savior's feet when the time comes. All right, let's wrap it up. Father, we thank you just for being so awesome. It didn't cost us anything to accept your salvation. Just the willingness of a choice to make is all we have to do. And you give us eternity. You give us your Son. You give us that freedom. And it didn't cost us anything. And now you turn around and you give us rewards for living in a way that pleases you or that's honoring to you and just representing who Jesus is. It's mind-boggling because it's all free. It doesn't cost us anything. We get all of eternity just for a few measly years on this earth representing who you are. So I pray that you challenge us to represent you well. I pray that you challenge us to leave here and be somebody else's Bible. If they don't know who you are, we can be Jesus to them. They won't know who Jesus is unless we show them. So, Father, I pray that you place us each in an opportunity this week that we're able to show Jesus to somebody, that we're able to reflect who you are to somebody that needs to know who you are. There's many hurting souls, there's many hurting people in this world, and we're around them every day. So give us the courage to stand up, stand firm. We have the information. We know what we need to say. We know when we need to say something or when we need to act or when we need to reach out to somebody. We just need to take that first step in doing that. So, Father, I pray that you help us to do that. Just let the Holy Spirit take over. Just allow us to show up and let you speak. We just pray for the offering today, that as we continue to just do things in this church and support different areas, that you can continue to have us do that to be able to make a difference in our community and those around us. And I just pray that you let us all have pure motives and give our offerings with pure hearts this morning, that it's truly for you, that it's not something that we're doing out of guilt or that we're not doing because we just think that that's what we need to do or whatever it may be, but it's just that it's, you don't need our money, but you need us to depend on you, that you'll take care of us. So, Father, we just, again, just please watch out for us as we go out our separate ways this week, and let us just be great ambassadors for your kingdom. In your Son's name we pray. Amen.